morning we're starting a bit of a new series called Our Character Under Construction. You know, God's never done with us. He's always building and working and changing and shaping. And just when you think you have it all figured out, whether it's in life or marriage or ministry or what aspect of your life, somehow God will just take the tablecloth and takes it out and he says, okay, let's talk. Let's fellowship. Let's come and reason together. And so my subject this morning is controlling our thoughts. We're going to look at our thoughts over the next week, guarding our hearts, fruits of the Spirit, relationships, some of the things that shape our character and who we are and what we are. Character, they say, is who you are when you're all alone. You cannot buy a good name. A good name is precious. It's more valuable than gold. A good character. To have integrity in your life, to have soundness in your life, all areas of your life, is a gift from God. You know, in the Bible, I'm going to start with John. Jesus says that we should love the Lord, and it's the verse that Jordan just quoted just now as we are finishing communion. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. You know, the heart is the brain. From the heart flows all kinds of thoughts, Matthew says, of evil and good intents. You know, when we say the heart, we're thinking quite often here, but it's the heart is our brain. It's our thoughts. It's who we are. And then he says, with all your soul, well, our soul is our spirit, and all your mind, the simplest, just trust me because I'm going through this fast, is your conscience. It's our thinking thoughts. It's more than our heart, more than the brain, it's our conscience and our mind. And there's some scriptures I could quote around that, and I will. But then with all your strength, talking about our body. Most of us talk about body, soul, and spirit. I think that's a little easier. Body, we understand. Soul, spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. Body, soul, who I am, Adam became a living soul. Those words get interchanged. And spirit, there's a part of us that's eternal. There's a part of us that never dies. And they kind of start to get intertwined and mixed together. And so, I'm not going to try to do a psychological analysis here this morning, what it all means, but just know that God created us the most amazing, complicated being on the planet in his likeness and in his image. And there's so much involved in the study of the mind and the spirit and the soul and the body and how they all work. And I kind of asked this question to myself, where do I exist? Who am I? You get those big philosophical questions. Where does life exist? Like, it's in this body, but this body is just a shell. So the real me who's talking to you and looking at you this morning is in here somewhere. And do I exist as a spirit kind of floating around, or am I a soul? Am I a bunch of electrons zapping together in a brain that just kind of brings it all together? What am I? And the answer is, it's all of the above. And it's a mystery, and God knit us together in the womb. It's like, you just imagine God forming us and shaping us and knitting us, and he knew the days of our life in our mother's womb. This amazing creation of God that you are and that I am. You're amazing. Tell yourself you're amazing. You don't sound very excited. You are amazing. We are an amazing creation on the earth that God put here for a special purpose and a plan. But without getting caught up in it all, I want to talk this morning about our thoughts, our minds, our thoughts, our hearts. That part of us that's the thinking part, that's us. As a man thinks, so is he. We are our thoughts. We are a sum of what you see right here is Leonard. And there's a lot of it you don't see, but it's just as real as the part that you do see. And actually, it's more real and more important. The inside, the knowing, the being, the spiritual part of me, who I am and who you are. And that's what God is interested in. That's what God is shaping in us. You know, the mind's, we talk about the conscience, the mind. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. In fact, both their minds and consciousness are corrupted, Titus 1:5. This is a reason the Bible teaches us to renew our mind. And Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, Ephesians 4:23. There's a part of us that God wants to renew. He wants to renew our thinking. He wants us to take control of our thoughts. What you think matters. That's my first point. It's important. Our thoughts matter. So you turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, if you're looking for a verse to base some of what I'm sharing. It's Paul writing. He says, "We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God." A little different translation, maybe. "And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." So, to start off, our thoughts are very important. How you think, what you think, is the sum of who you are, becomes you. That is you. You think right, you believe right, you act right. They go together. You think wrong, you believe wrong, you act wrong. It starts with our thinking, our thoughts. And our thoughts are amazing things. And that's what I want to share about this morning. I don't know how old some of you are, if you remember the song, "Ride the Wild Horses of Your Mind." Yeah, good. I see Les back there. Yeah. Who sang that? I couldn't remember. Larry Norman or some of these old guys. I don't know. Our thoughts are wild horses that need to be ridden, that need God's control, need the Spirit's control, need the Word of God's control, need us to take and compress and to hold and say, "I'm going to compel these thoughts. I'm going to cause these thoughts," as the verse says, to be right. And we take them captive in the obedience of Christ. So you and I exist in our thoughts. You and I exist in our minds. You and I exist in our spirits. Whoever we are here is eternal and will carry on. And somehow we're going to recognize each other in heaven. So I don't know, we're going to get a new body, thank God for that. But we're going to recognize each other. We will know one another when we get to heaven. So here's my first experiment. I got an experiment again this morning. Not really an experiment. I'm going to ask for a trusty volunteer, Doug Cameron. Come. I just need your help to open one of these. Observe carefully, folks. Little trouble there, huh? Making a bit of a mess, eh? Thank you. Put the paper on here. Stay here. You're not done. I'll never forget this examples from South Africa because the guy who invented these little bags, he took his own life. He committed suicide because he invented these things for a purpose. And he would sit in a restaurant and he'd watch people open the bags exactly how Doug just opened it. And he lost his mind and he killed himself because of it. He invented these things so that it would be neat and tidy, and you just come and you just crack them open and they empty into the cup nicely with no mess. You see? True story. But the point I'm trying to make is how you think and what you think affects everything in your life. It affects who you are. It affects people around you. It shapes you. So our thoughts are amazingly important in our life. And the enemy knows it. And the enemy will use it against us. And God knows it. And he challenges us by his Spirit in the Word of God to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. To be made new. To think differently. And not let the enemy come and trap us in our thoughts. So, just a couple of points around our minds first. Our minds are made up of three parts. This is our psychology lesson. We have our thoughts, we have our emotions, we have our will. Again, it's our conscience. The emotions kind of connect it all together. And the will is the king's chair where the decisions are made about everything that we see and do and hear and feel and think and wonder about. The will is kind of that king's chair. And the enemy wants to get onto that chair. Or we want to get onto that chair. And to make a long story short, if we can get the Holy Spirit to sit on that king's chair of the will of our life and rule and reign in our life, if we will submit the authority in our life to God, we'll find our lives make a lot more sense. We'll find our lives go somewhere. But it's when we push aside God, we push aside his will, we push aside the things that we know, that we get ourselves into trouble. And we allow thoughts to come. We allow the enemy to plant seeds. The scripture uses all kinds of thoughts and things around this idea of our minds. and the attack on our minds and spiritual warfare and the submitting of our thoughts and our lives to Christ and how important it is. So, I'm calling it number one, but there's two or three points under this, and then I got another big point. So my first point under our minds is you cannot trust your thoughts. That's a tough one because the heart is deceitful above all things. Jeremiah 17:9 says, desperately sick. Who can understand it? I don't know about you, but my thoughts so many times are notoriously, almost continuously wrong. My thoughts. When I assess a situation, when I see people, when I think of things, I'm notorious for getting it wrong. Women sometimes have a lot more intuition, a lot more understanding about some of these things, and you know, they can see. I'm like, yeah, okay, I trust, I believe, I'm naive, whatever word you want to believe, I'm stupid. It's like, and I get it wrong just about every time. Our thoughts will deceive us. Our thoughts are not our best friend many times. They need to be renewed. The second one is a devil. I don't know what's on the next slide, but you can try it. There is a devil who puts thoughts in our minds. No one would say the horrible things about themselves that we often say. You know, sometimes a thought will come, you think, I wouldn't say that about myself. God's not saying that about myself. That's got to be the devil dropping thoughts like that into my mind. Why would I want to take my own life? Why would I think I'm stupid? Why do I think I'm so ugly? Why do I got to walk around with this feeling? God made me amazing. God loves me. God's not judging me. He's not condemning me. He loves me. He's calling me. He's calling me into life, an eternal life, an amazing life. Why would I believe a lie like that? There is a devil. Amen? He is. And there's demonic activity. He's busy. He's busy. That's why he's saying our thoughts are so important. That's why he goes for them. There's oppression, depression, possession, undress, all these actions that the devil will try to bind us and try to control us and try to work his thoughts and his plans into our life. And I thank God that he doesn't have the power for it. You know, when God says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, mind, and strength, Jesus is quoting from the commandments with remember the story of the Pharisee, and he says, what are the greatest ones? And he tells them, but basically he's saying, it's an impossible commandment for you to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, all of it. I don't know about you and me, but I fail. And he's making the point that we actually need God. We actually need to surrender to him. We need to be walking in some of that resurrection life that we sang about this morning in order to be able to do it. It's an impossible task. So I want to keep you free so that you don't go out of here this morning saying, man, I got to try harder. Yeah, we do have to try harder. Yes, we have to live the life of God. Yes, we bring our thoughts captive. Yes, we take authority. We come against the devil. We don't believe his lies. We do these things. But it's God working in us that sets us free. It's God coming by his Holy Spirit and sitting on the throne of my heart, the throne of my will and intellect and who I am that gives me freedom and allows me to walk in some of the things that God wants me to walk in. But there is a devil. The second one is the real battleground is our mind. I've already touched on it. Spiritual warfare. You know, people go to conferences and things on spiritual warfare and it's all good. But spiritual warfare, sometimes in our thinking, you know, you got people storming back and forth and with swords. I don't know what kind of conferences you've been at, but I've been at plenty of amazing ones and different ones and different things. And I'm for it all. I'm for anything. Just challenge our brains, challenge our thinking, our way of life. But, you know, you can storm around and I do it, and you can pray and you can carry swords and you can go after the enemy. I know it's trying to be symbolic or whatever, but you know where spiritual warfare takes place? Between your ears. This is where the battle takes place, is in your mind. The battle is raging for your mind, for your thoughts as I'm speaking. The enemy's, you know, he comes and he puts seeds, sows weeds in the night, the Bible talks about. The birds pluck them out. What's he talking about? He's talking about the Word of God can't find a root. It can't find a place in your thoughts. The enemy's working. He'll come and plug your ears. We have to be active listeners. We have to say, God, help me to listen to your word. Help me to listen to the Holy Spirit. Help me to not listen to the nonsense going on out there. There's so many voices. Help me to hear. Just a second, let me ask. Okay, that's okay. We need to hear God's voice, what God is saying to us and through us and in us. So the real battleground is in our mind. And Ephesians 6 talks about putting on the helmet of salvation and taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's His Word. You know, you don't take the Word and just, it's a sword. And I've done it too. It's okay. If that's what you're doing, it's like, devil, you get desperate, man. But when the sword is actually, learn it, read it, eat it, memorize it, put it in your mind. A guy who's amazing at it is Jordan, memorizing scripture. I wish I had his brain. I can't remember, like, okay, 3 seconds later. When I was young and I was in Bible school, Jordan, I used to be able to do that too. We had to memorize 10 scriptures before class every day. I'd do it on the way to school, and I'd recite them all, finished, done. Didn't need to know that much longer than that. Get the marks, hallelujah. So how do we control our thoughts? That's what my sermon is supposed to be about. How do we control our thoughts? Well, we take them captive. We do some things that put us in control of our thoughts. You know, guard the gates, number one. Oh, good, it's on there. Guard the gates. You know, thoughts are our gates, emotions are our gates. What you see and hear are gates to the mind. They're entry points to the mind. As I said, the will is the chair, is the king's throne, but the entry points coming in. You know, the devil, I said there's a devil. He loves fear. He loves unforgiveness. He loves anger. All those things are here. They're in our minds. And we have to guard our minds. For example, thoughts, injustices will come. What that means is, listen, if you haven't had a hard day yet, it's probably going to come. And you need to guard your thoughts. People are going to do stuff. Injustices, offenses, going to happen. Somebody's going to cut you off on the road leaving church. I remember, I got to watch where I'm looking. I don't think they're here, but I remember someone was very upset because on the way to coming to church, another church folk cut them off at the driveway here. It's like, I love it. God is working on us right to the last. I remember when we were in 3CI in Pretoria, there was like this, the church was kind of way out in the country, so you had to go up this long road and then down another long road, and it's very few cars and there's very few houses, big acreages out there, it's where the property was, and so there's very few cars except for everybody going to church. You don't know how huge a test that was. Because I was always on my motorbike, and I was always going way fast, and I was always passing people. And of course, as soon as you get to the gate of the church, we all turn into the same church. Morning, Bob. Morning, George. How are you? Good, good. It's like, if you haven't been offended yet, I will probably offend you before I'm done preaching. It's what you're going to do with it. It's how you're going to let it affect your mind and do its work in your mind. And we need to guard the gates of our heart. What do we allow our eyes to see? What do we allow our ears to hear? What are you filling your head with? Garbage in, garbage out. It's simple. Guard the gates to your mind. Put a hedge around it. Fill it with good things. Think on beautiful things. Get your mind set on the things which are above. Have this mind which is in Christ. I could go on and on with scripture of guarding your mind, guarding your heart. What God asks us to do is to protect ourselves by guarding the gates to our mind. You know, people used to argue that TV didn't affect the kids or pornography wasn't so bad and all these things. I've heard them argue on television these things. You know, it hasn't been proven scientifically. You know, but then why will they spend $150 million on a one-minute ad in the middle of a Super Bowl game? Because they know what you see affects you, motivates you, moves you, changes you, gets you to spend money, do things, see the world in a certain way. It's like a car advertisement. They don't care about, you know, you so much or me so much. They're trying to sell a lifestyle, a picture of a life. It's just a piece of steel driving down the road, but they sell this picture of a family in a van. You know, we have a van. Praise God for vans. How many vans do we have here this morning? Oh, vans. You know, but when you see it advertised, Just family, sporting, socializing, loading equipment peacefully into this van. The seats just go, and it's like, that's the lifestyle you could have. My van, sit down and shut up over there. It's like, be quiet. What is this? Pick the garbage out of here. It's like, that lifestyle just disappears as soon as I bought the van. It's like, what happened? Where was the nice little father smiling at the wife? But that's what they try to sell us. What is going into your mind? What are you allowing into your mind, into your emotions, into your thoughts, into who you are, what then affects the will of me, the guy inside here, and how I live and how I do my life? We need to guard the gates. The second one is we need a trustworthy outside source. Hebrews 12:4 says, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and of discerning the thoughts and the intents of the heart. What I love about the word, like, man, we can't know our own hearts, but the word of God can. And the word of God can divide soul and spirit. Now, that's tricky. What does that mean? Between the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Like, that's getting to the nitty-gritty. That's getting to the heart of who we are. The word of God can do that. And it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The word of God, we need an outside source when it comes to our thoughts. And I used this example years ago, so forgive me if you were around in the blue quill. I don't need more sugar bowls and whatever, but I think I used it anyhow. But are you old enough to remember the Moody Institute videos, Bible Institute? Anybody? They used to have these black and white films, and we used to watch them in Sunday school, and it was lessons but it was scientific lessons, and it's all black and white and slow. But the one that stuck in my head, just like the sugar one, is they put a guy in a chair, and they have this special chair, and they blindfold him, and they start to spin them. And they ask him, which way are you going? His senses, going to the right, going to the right, going faster, going faster, going faster, going faster. But actually, what's happening is they're slowing down. And his senses, the fluids in his ears and all these things, feels like it's speeding up because the fluid's still going. And they slow him down without him knowing or hearing. And they actually start going the other way. And it's actually when he stops that he's thinking he's going the fastest. And the whole point of the Moody Bible Institute story was that we cannot trust our senses. We cannot trust what we see and hear and feel and think. Cannot trust our emotions. They will fail us many times. We will read the circumstances wrong. And the point he was making is a pilot in an airplane looking at his instruments, flying through a cloud, flying where he cannot see. It's like Jordan's story of swimming. You can't see the bottom, you can't see the top. You need some reference point outside of yourself. So when you're flying in a plane and you get into the clouds, and if you do not have instruments or you do not trust your instruments, you're in trouble. And this story I know I've told because I've flown too many times with crazy, crazy pilots, and they don't know their instruments. I don't want to say his name on the tape. If it was on a tape, it would be okay because they don't even have the. Maybe on an 8-track. Those are better. And you come out of the clouds and you're like this. And worse. Because you can't trust your senses. It's like driving in a snowstorm. It's my good friend, Cornelson. His good friend, I can't remember his name. Grant Cornelson. I buried him in Monza. And I know I've used that story before. I built his coffin with his little 2-year-old son sitting with Lori and I in our house. We get the word. He got lost in his plane dropping mail because the Lake Victoria blended with the sky. It's the only thing that they can understand how he could do it. And he lost perspective of where he was. He didn't took his eyes off the instrument. He took his eyes off of, and his plane tilted and hit a wing on a plane because he was making circles. MAF used to have that thing where they drop mail into a village, and he got too low without realizing where he was, what his altitude was, and crashed and burned. Terrible story, and everybody's looking so sad this morning. But I guess the point is true. If you do not have a reference outside of yourself, you'll make mistakes. We need instruments outside of us, and then we got to trust them. And I want to say this morning, the Word of God is that instrument. That the Word of God is reliable. This Word. And people who reject the Bible, well, then you got to come up with something better. You've got to come up with some other reference points for how you got on the planet and why you're on the planet and what you're doing on the planet. And I say, go for it. Have at it. I'm going to trust this Word that's been faithful and true in my life and for the last 4,000 years. This Word has been reliable and trustworthy and true, God's Word. And what it says, I can trust. And so when I'm thinking wrong, and I come to the Word of God, and it's like, oh, it puts my thoughts in line. My mind needs to come into this way of thinking. This is what God says about me. God says I'm precious. God says I'm created in His likeness and His image. God says I can forgive. God says I can have joy in my life. God says I can praise Him. God says I have purpose and a point to be alive and be on this planet. Marriage is valuable. Life is good. Kids are a gift from God. Whatever worldview or whatever thought you're thinking about, the Word of God has an answer for us. And we can trust it. And you see people flying like this. You just want to say, just take the Word of God and just... Ooh, okay, back on track. It works. The Word of God is alive, and it's real, and it gives life, and it gives direction, and it makes wise the simple. Not the fool. The fool says there's no God. You can't help a fool. But a simple person, an ignorant person, they will learn. They will respond. They will come back. They will say, God, I need wisdom. And the Bible says if you lack wisdom, ask God, and He'll give you wisdom. Number three, we need to submit our minds and our bodies and our spirits to the Holy Spirit. Romans 6:13, and do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. So all of us, all of these instruments, we submit to God, including our minds, including our thoughts, and we will use them for His glory, use them for His plans and His purpose. That's what it means to say, God, I surrender. God, I will follow hard after You, and I will live for You and make my life count for You. Amen? And the last one is sometimes the mind gets broken. We've talked about that in the past here. It's okay. This is what I like to say. It's okay to say you need help. It's okay to ask for prayer. It's okay to say, you know what? My mind's working against me today. It's good to have a friend. It's good to have the Word of God. It's good to have the Holy Spirit and submitting to Him. And it's good to have a community of friends. It's good to have people who you can talk to. It's good to have folk who you can be genuine, you can be real with and come to and say, you know what? It's not going so well today. I said it to young mothers this week. I love young mothers. Love you. Bless you. I pray for you. All mothers and fathers, not just mothers, but mothers particularly. Our granddaughters, 2 weeks old in Australia, and I pray for them, pray for our kids all the time. It's no joke to be a mother, and the emotions and the minds and the chemicals that are going on and the changes. Ladies, can I just tell you something? You're amazing. You make babies. You grow a baby. You actually give birth to that baby, and then you feed that baby. You're amazing. You know, the man's part is much less, but you are amazing. And I, you know, the devil will come and he will attack your mind just at the wrong time, just at that moment. When, you know, he's not stupid. He's got a 20-year plan. He'll wait to just the right moment and he'll take us out. But he's a liar. And you, when you feel stressed, talking about young mothers, but anybody, get to some friends. Come to a community. That's what community is for. That's when we need one another. Not because we're all perfect and we all got it figured out, but because we need help. And it's okay to say help. And it's call out to God and say, help me. I need God. I'm flying upside down here. It feels like I'm going to crash this thing. And God will come in and His Holy Spirit will come in and friends can come in and the Word of God comes in and makes life make sense again. Sometimes the mind gets broken. Sometimes you need medicine. Sometimes it's a physical problem. Sometimes it's a mental problem. Sometimes it's a spiritual problem. I always think of, and I want to somehow end this, but I always think of Roy Floden, sorry for mentioning his name, but I'll know you'll never listen to these eight tracks anyhow. So it's a few years ago, praying for him and his mother, actually, and she was very senior, and she came to the altar, and, you know, she's like Selma, served the Lord her whole life, Bill and Gerda, someone like that, loved the Lord, did amazing ministry things, raised a family, and she comes to the altar, and she's standing there, and she says to me, and she starts to cry, she says, I don't know if I'm saved. And it's like her mind, getting old, started playing tricks on her, started confusing her. And so we called the family, we all called, and we just prayed, and God, you know, just, God, just remind her who she is. May she just listen. She can't trust her own mind, but she can trust us. Took her face and say, you know, you can trust me. You're saved. Jesus loves you. Your salvation is sure, not because of you, but because of Jesus. We are sure. We can have that confidence. You know, you don't need to be shaken by circumstance. You don't need to be shaken when you falter, when you're thinking wrong, when your life is messed, something goes wrong. I remember going to Swan Hills to pastor, and I got there, and it was like the hardest, most toughest place I ever been in my life. I hadn't even got there yet, and I could tell you stories all morning. And I remember saying to my brother, I don't think I'm in God's will. I don't think that this is right. And I remember him just saying, you know what, just be quiet. God called you. You know it. Just hang in there. It's okay. And then to see God come through. So I don't know where you're at in your life right now. I don't know what circumstances are attacking your mind or what thinking's gone on. Trust God this morning. Come to Him and let Him bring peace to your situation. Bring peace to your life. Bring peace to your heart. So sometimes when the mind gets broken, we need help. And I want to end by reading Psalm 59. If you have your Bibles, Psalm 59 has been part of our... How you doing with your Bible reading again? We're back a new year, about 57 days in. Thank God we just got through Leviticus and Deuteronomy again. We skipped a few this time, I have to admit. I just couldn't take any more sacrifices. So how do we control our minds? Well, we've talked about it. We need a source from outside. We need the Word. We need God. We need to bring it into submission. We need to ask God for help. We need to have good friends. We need to have a community around us that we trust. We need to allow people to speak into our lives. We need these things. But here's what David says. If you read the very beginning of Psalm 59, just the very first, before he even starts verse 1, it says, "For the director of music, to the tune of, do not destroy." So this is a song. I like this. I wish I knew the beat for Do Not Destroy. Of David, a Mikkim, when Saul had sent men to watch David's house in order to kill him. See, that part is in there because it was in there. This is in there. That's not just people making stuff up. It's in there. Think of David. Saul's sending men to watch his house because he's going to kill him. Like, that, these are some serious stuff going on here. What would you be thinking, like, right then? And David goes through this whole thing, and he's crying out to God, and he's saying, you know, they're like howling dogs just out in the street, howling. Just try to picture what's going on in David's life. But what I want to, you know, is verse 14, they return in the evening snarling like dogs and prowl about the city, and they wander about for food and howl if not satisfied. Just that picture of this pack of wild animals after David. But here's what he says, "But I will sing of your strength in the morning, and I will sing of your love, for you are my fortress, my refuge in times of trouble. O my strength, I sing praise to you. You, O God, are my fortress, my loving God." One of the greatest tools we have is to give thanks and to praise God in our circumstance. To take our mind off of us, take our mind off of what we see, take our mind off of what's coming at us, and put our minds on God, put our minds on Him, and to begin to thank Him and to praise Him. David says it's a fortress. You build this fortress around your life of praise and worship, of thanksgiving to God. Can we have the musicians come? I like that song. I like them all, but I don't know if you can sing that one. When he enters the room, everything changes. That's a good image. The room of my heart. When Jesus enters, when I allow him to come in, everything changes. Peace comes, makes sense, my life, what I'm doing. My kids are going to be okay. My kids are okay, not because of me, but because of God. People have asked me, oh, how do you raise kids? Well, I was raised by, my father was very alcoholic. They were very solid community people. Don't get me wrong, I'm not here to badmouth my father, but he was an alcoholic. He was abusive, emotionally, physically. Ah, I turned out okay. Got a few issues. But God is faithful. My kids are going to be okay. Not because I'm perfect. Ask my kids. Don't ask them, actually. Matthew, be quiet over there. Because God is faithful. He is good. Let's stand and sing.